Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 33, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putriyaha Vishnu Prajayaha Iva Deva Matuhu Ya Vai Sva Garbhena Dadhara Devam Trai Yatha Nyagnya Vitanam Artam Kvachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putriya Vishnu Prajaya Iva Deva Matuhu Yavai Svagarbhena Dadhara Devam Trayi Yatha Nyagnya Vitanam Artam Kvachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putriya Vishnu Prajaya Iva Deva Matuhu Yavai Svagarbhena Dadhara Devam Trayi Yatha Yagya Vitanam Artam.
Kachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putriya.
Kachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putriya.
Vishnu Prajaya Iva Deva Matuhu.
Vishnu Prajaya Iva Deva Matuhu.
Yavai Svagarbhena Dadhara Devam
Yavai Svagarbhena Dadhara Devam
Trayi Yatha Yajna Vitanam Artham
Trayi Yatha Yajna Vitanam Artham
Kachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putriya
Kachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putriya Jaya Iva Deva Matuhu
Ladies.
Devam.
kachit, weather, shivam, everything well, devaka, bhoja, putriyaha, of the daughter of King Devaka Bhoja, Vishnu Prajayaha, of she who gave birth to the personality of Godhead, Eva, like that of Deva Matuhu, of the mother of the demigods, Aditi, Ya, one who, Vai, indeed, Svagarbhena, by her own womb, Dadhara, conceived, Devam, the Supreme Lord, Trayi, the Vedas, Yatha, as much as, Yajna, Vitanam, of spreading the sacrifice, Artham, purpose. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Devaka Bhoja conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. Is she, Devaki, doing well? Purport. The Vedas are full of transcendental knowledge and spiritual values, and thus Devaki, the mother of Lord Krishna, conceived the Lord in her womb as the personified meaning of the Vedas. There is no difference between the Vedas and the Lord. The Vedas aim at the understanding of the Lord, and the Lord is the Vedas personified. Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas and the Lord to their purpose personified. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Anum Api Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakha Guru Vaishna Bhagavan Tina Smarne Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashi Hoi Nijavantita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday morning, you mentioned about verses being chanted without the meaning being given, so I suspected that you were referring to couple of the verses that I regularly chant in Mangalacharan before giving the talk. Is what I'll just explain. Nama Shreshtam. Do you know this verse? No. It's Raghunath Das Goswami prays it. But he prays it to his guru, we can pray it to our guru also. Nama Shreshtam. Manava, so it means the best name and the best mantra. Sachiputra means Lord Chaitanya. Namasreshta Manapi Shachiputra Atra Sarupam. This, in the case of Raghunath Das, refers to Sarup Damodar Goswami. And then Rupam, Rupa Goswami, and Tasyagrajam. Here Rup must mean Rupa Goswami because next refers to his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami. And the great place, which is the place for attending the cow or the city, Urupurim Mathura, Radha Kunda, the best of hills, Govardhan, and Radha Madhava. So I got the hope, the possibility, the aspiration to attain all of these by the immense mercy of my Gurudev, who I offer respects to, obeisance to. Then another one from Chaitanya Charitamrita, I chant, Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan, and by remembering these three, Tina Smarani Hoi, all the obstacles are destroyed, Vigna Vinashan, Anayashe Hoi Nijavanchita Puran, and very easily one's desire is fulfilled. Which is similar to what you were talking about yesterday. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj also refers, he invokes the six Goswamis, especially of course Rupa Raghunath, and the deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath, for getting their mercy to complete the writing of this book. So today's verse describes Devaki being the daughter of a respectable king. It's very important in Vedic culture for those who are of respectable lineages to be aware of their lineage and to be able to tell others. It used to be that people would be able to say their ancestors all the way back to Lord Brahma. What about you? Did you learn that? No. Maybe your father did, or his father. They would be able to say.
You chant it in the Abhivadana, where you say this is your
lineage. Yeah, you'd say which gotra you're in, but exactly who everyone is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the beginning of his book, Datta Kostuba. Datta refers to his family, Datta, Kedarnath Datta. Gives his ancestors all the way back to Chitragupta, who's the scribe of Yamaraj. So it was expected to be known. That's Kayasta, keeping the records. In Bengali they're called Kayastas, clerks you could say. Although Kayastas, they can do clerk, well, accountancy, all this kind of thing they would do. The sub-level management they would do. Shudras, by caste, but the top level of Shudras. Ramananda Rai, also Shudra, but top level. He was the governor of parts of South India under the king, Prataparudra. And Kayastas, they can be well learned in Sanskrit. They're not allowed to hear the Vedas, but they can be well learned in Sanskrit. Ramananda Rai composed his Jagannath Vallabh Natak before meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the request of Prataparudra Maharaj. And we see another Kayasta, that Ramdas, Vishwas. Vishwas is another common Bengali Kayasta name. He traveled with Raghunath Das Goswami to Puri, and then there he stayed there for some time and was engaged in teaching the extended family coming from Bhavananda Rai, which means Ramananda Rai and the other brothers, teaching their family members kavya, poetry, means Sanskrit poetry at that time. At that time, the vernacular poetry was only for... anyway, not the subject of this verse, is it? Anyway, the vernacular poetry was only... lower class people, they would have songs to Chandi and various things about their harvest and this and that. And really the Chaitanya Bhagavat was the first, you could say, very high class work in Bengali, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So here discussing about King Devaka Bhoja, gives his name, and that shows that Krishna was born in a very good family. The Supreme Lord appears in either Brahmana or Kshatriya families, mostly Kshatriya, because he has the work to do of Vinashayata Dushkritam, of destroying the rascals and demons. But also in Brahmin family, just like it's mentioned here, Deva Mata, Aditi. So her son Vamana is known as a Brahmana, Kajapa, her husband and the father, in traditional culture, not only Vedic culture. If you mention the mother and then mention the father, it's understood that the father and mother are married, and that the wife is, when you say Aditi's the mother and Kashyap's the father, it's understood they're husband and wife. So she gave birth to Vamana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a Brahmana. What about Buddha? Must have been a Brahmana, right? Kshatriya family, yeah. Yeah. You might think he's Brahmana, being a peaceful, very peaceful, impractically peaceful. Anyway, Devaki is described here as being just like the Vedas, the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, and then the idea is that Krishna comes from her womb just as from the Vedas come Yajna. So in the same way, Krishna came from Devaki. Now there could be many other analogies given, there could be many descriptions of the Supreme Lord. Well, the Supreme Lord means the Supreme Lord, that's the first description. Ishvara, he's the supreme controller. There's so many ways he can be described, unlimited ways. We have Vishnu Sahasranam describing him in just 1,000 ways, that's all. It's about as much as we can manage, but he has unlimited ways he can be described. But here he's described as the like the result of the Vedas. So the result of knowledge is that one should know Krishna. One may be very learned in so many subjects, but if we don't know Krishna, what's the use? The story of the boatman and the scholar used to be very popular little skit for dramas. The boatman is rowing over the wide river with a big scholar, and the big scholar sees some fish in the water. Actually, and he becomes very excited. Oh, these are very rare fish, rarely seen in there. And he gives the Latin name, and he asked the boatman, do you know about these? And yeah, I see many fish, but I don't know that much about them. Then he sees some birds flying in the sky. And then he says, oh, you don't know about, what is that word? Piscology, I guess it must be. The study of fish. Anyone here in biology? You're in biology line, right? Piscatology? something like that. Then he sees a bird flying in the sky. He becomes very excited. Oh, very rare to see in this area. Do you know the Latin name of that bird? Latin? What's that? You don't know Latin, you don't know ornithology. I know that one, the study of birds. You've wasted 50% of your life. Then he sees some clouds in the sky and becomes very excited. Oh, look at those. And he gives the Latin name of the cloud. The clouds also, their formations are different. Said, oh, do you know meteorology? He said, well, not really. Then you wasted 75% of your life. But I know enough to know that that means there's a big storm coming. And we're not even halfway across the river yet. And it's probably going to get pretty choppy. And it does. A big storm comes, the river gets choppy, the boat overturns, and the scholar is blubbering and lubbering. And the boatman says to the scholar, do you know how to swim? No! You've wasted 100% of your life. Traditionally, the boatmen in Bengal, it's a very common to have boatmen because there are so many rivers. Probably everyone's a boatman. Traditionally, not many in the villages, not many people knew how to swim, but everyone knew how to row a boat. Because the whole country pretty much gets flooded. It's flat and it rains in 4 months. The rainiest place in the world is in Meghalaya, which is the state right next to Bengal, which doesn't flood because it's all hills. And right next to that is Bengal, and it's all flat. It's full of rivers, and everywhere gets flooded. Sometimes flying over Bangladesh in the rainy season, you can see everything flooded. Sometimes you see a few trees sticking up out of the water, sometimes some roofs of houses like that, which in the houses that didn't get washed away. So everyone keeps a boat for that time of year. And traditionally the ferrymen ferrying across the river, or they may be ferrying across the river, or they may be going fishing or whatever, different boats for different purposes. There are ferry boats, and then for merchandise also, carrying merchandise, different. They traditionally sing. What are you going to do when you're going like this all day? They'd sing songs to Krishna, traditionally. Plowing the fields, behind the bulls, they'd sing to Krishna. That's all gone now. India's losing that great culture. So the point is that even if you're very learned, if you don't know Krishna, then what's the use? The very learned people are highly respected. The Time magazine person of the century for the 20th century was Albert Einstein. All the people voted him. Because he knew so much, but he didn't know Krishna. He did mention God sarcastically. I don't believe in a God who plays dice with the universe. But he didn't believe in God as a vital spiritual principle. What to speak of a vital spiritual person? And in India also, learned people are traditionally very much respected. But the learned means learned, the acharyas, learned in Shastra, very highly respected. In Western culture, big politicians and soldiers are mostly the ones who are respected the most, or they're remembered in history. The important figures in American history are George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy. Who else? Huh?
That's about it.
Okay. And then you have your soldiers, right? You don't have many important soldiers because you didn't fight that many wars in America, except against each other. Ulysses Grant, he was a general for the Union Army. Okay. And in British history we have, actually Shakespeare is a big figure, right? And then we have Churchill is a big figure. And I don't know if you've even heard of Nelson. He was an admiral. And then we have Wellington. He won a battle, which he wasn't expected to win, against Napoleon. Churchill, yeah, big demon. And so many others. But in Vedic culture, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya. Nowadays, people don't know. Most people never heard of Shankaracharya or Ramanujacharya. Madhvacharya. They don't know. So we should know. Human life is meant for acquiring knowledge. In every species of life, we have some knowledge. The puppies, when they're born, they have knowledge, which is inspired by the super soul in their heart, how to get milk. They don't need to go to training school. They immediately grab their mother's nipples and take milk. They don't have to learn how to bark. That automatically comes. Shariram yadavapnauti yat chap yut karma tishvaraha. Grihit vaitani sangyati vayor eva vayor gandhanivashaya. Yeah. We carry our conceptions of life from body to body to body. So if we're in doggish consciousness, we get born as a dog. And we're given the knowledge by the super soul to exercise our intelligence and our senses in a certain way. And what's the verse after that? Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam grahanam eva cha manaschayam adhishtanam vishayanupasevate. We get certain bodies, certain senses with which to enjoy the sense objects. So we get a body of a dog and we think like a dog. And we have knowledge like a dog, but only in human life is it possible to acquire spiritual knowledge. Therefore, atato brahma jignasa. In human life, we should inquire, what is the spirit? What is spiritual? What is the ultimate principle? And for that, we have to go to the Vedas. And ultimately, to understand what is Brahma, we have to understand Krishna, Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, if we don't, in human life, if we don't cultivate spiritual knowledge, then our life is completely useless. As stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are a few verses. Tahare se bali bidda mantra adhayan Krishna pada padme jai koreye sthiraman. One who has fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna is to be understood as having education. That's actually education. That's actual mantras, actual study. Means if we can fix his mind, one who can fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Shai shai bidda fall jani hoy nishchoy Krishna pada padme jadi chitta vritti roy. That is the real result of education, of knowledge. You should know for sure. If the mind is fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, digbijoy koribo bidda karjanahe ishware bhajile shai bidda shaptakahe. To think I will be a great scholar and show my knowledge to everyone and conquer over the world with my knowledge. That is not the purpose of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to come to the point of worshipping Krishna. That is real knowledge, genuine knowledge. Pare keno lok Krishna bhakti janibare shei jodi nahilo tobe bidai ki kore. The purpose of education is to understand Krishna and his devotional service. If one does not do so, then his education, what's the point? Nitaina bolile moke mojelo shangshara shuke shei posho boro duracha. I'm going to get in the right line. Bidya kule ki koribeta. Yeah, what's the use if you have so many material qualifications, but if we don't know Krishna, if we don't chant the names of Nityananda? Srila Prabhupada summarized it in one purport in the fourth canto. Any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. So many educational institutions. Here in Atlanta, there's Georgia State University, and then there's some technical thing just close by, Georgia Tech, and this and that. But what's the use? What is the use? Simply getting some knowledge with the hope that they'll be able to earn some money to eat and sleep and live their life, and then they die. And then again back to the lower species of life. So this Krishna Conscious Movement, it's meant to be an educational movement. Srila Prabhupada generally didn't like to present this movement as being a religious movement, because religion means a kind of faith, but this is based on knowledge. Veda means knowledge. You can believe whatever you like, but what is the fact about spiritual life? Who is God? How can we understand who is God? How can we understand God? There are so many debates and discussions on this. But from the Vedic perspective, almost everyone who takes part in these discussions is disqualified from the outset, even these big Christians or whatever, because they don't lead a purified life. How can you understand God if you're eating meat and drinking and smoking? And it's not possible. One has to become pure. It's not just some material knowledge. There are debates between theists and atheists, and people's minds are turned one way or the other. But it's not just a matter of being intelligent. Who's the most intelligent? Who can make the most striking presentation? It doesn't make any difference as to whether God exists or not. If someone speaks in a very deprecatory way or a very scholarly way, doesn't make any difference. Practically, God doesn't exist for those who are blind to him, just like the sun practically doesn't exist for someone who's blind. They can say there's no sun, and well, for them, they can't see anyway, so practically the sun doesn't exist. Of course, they couldn't eat if the sun wasn't there. They couldn't exist in that body if the sun isn't there. But from their immediate sensory perception, the sun doesn't exist. And to them it doesn't make any... If you say it exists or not exists, what difference does it make? If in a society of blind men, it makes no difference. So that just like these atheists say, well, we don't need God to explain everything. And they're all blind men. The blind men don't need the sun to explain everything that they can perceive. That doesn't cancel the need for God for them. So this movement is meant to be an educational movement. Srila Prabhupada once asked, why are we distributing these books? And the answer, for giving knowledge. Sometimes he said the devotees, they should have five classes a day, throughout the day in the temple. Another time he said, no need of so many classes. You have morning and evening program and go out on book distribution. So he said different things at different times. But this is meant to be an educational movement. We hear about Srila Prabhupada's dealings with devotees and how he was so expert in dealing with devotees in a way to bring out their Krishna consciousness. But if we see his life, he spent so much of his time giving knowledge. Practically, when he would discuss with others, he was always giving knowledge of Krishna. He spent hours every day translating these books. He wanted to give knowledge. And he wanted this movement to be known as an educational movement, giving spiritual knowledge. People see us. What do they think? Not much, probably. Don't think much of it. It used to be in the 1970s that our devotees were something weird and wonderful, with their flowing robes and their shaved heads and the women in saris dancing in the streets. But nowadays, that's just normal. This Juneteenth festival is coming up. Those people, they're a lot more wacko than we are. They went way past us. You're going to be there at the Juneteenth. It's a lot of fun chanting Hare Krishna there. You want to be there? It's good for book distribution? Maybe not, I don't. It's good for doing Harinam, they love it.
No, keep us out if we do books in there.
No, we have a booth in there. You have a booth, yeah. You're going to get a booth this year. Okay. So people see it, and most people think it's nice, it's fun, and having a good time, why not? And some people, somehow or other, in the millions of moments that I've spent in some semblance of Krishna consciousness since 1975, I just remember doing Harinam on Oxford Street, the most famous street in London, and a bus is sitting there at the stoplights, you call it in America, the traffic lights in England, and a bus driver's looking at, leaning on the wheel, going like this, like these, how they're wasting their time, and well, look what he's doing. Better chant Hare Krishna than be a bus driver. Of course, you can be a bus driver and chant Hare Krishna. It's not forbidden. But nowadays, most people, they think, it's nice, something happy, but they don't know that we have such knowledge. If they think of us at all, they think of us as, some nice people having fun is good. Bring some happiness to life when there's no happiness in this world. So, some fun. Let them have fun. This, that. But they don't know we have such knowledge. They should know. How are we going to let them know? Distribute books, and we should be out there also, speaking to people, preaching to people. You're going on the university campus, speak to people, and people, if they're not completely stupid, presumably there are some people out there who are not, I mean, materially many people are very intelligent, but spiritually stupid, or stupidly, they're not even stupid, they're not even conscious at all of any need for spiritual life, just living their lives like sophisticated animals. So if people are a little sensitive to spiritual values, they'll appreciate that there's so much knowledge. There's a vague idea of reincarnation out there in the ether. But what it is, how it happens, why it happens, what is karma, people don't have any idea. We have a very clear idea. Bhakti Charaswami told me, this must have been 20 years ago, he was invited to a conference in Switzerland on reincarnation. And he said that There were Buddhists there and all different kinds of people. And he said that it was obvious to everyone that we were the only people who knew what we were talking about, because they don't know what they're talking about, what it is or how it happens. There may be people scientifically studying at the University of Virginia. Ian Stevenson was based there, and that's going on. Still, something's going on. University of Virginia, where is it? Charlesville, yeah. Yeah. Something is going, something started, and then it's just kind of futting along. Do you say that in American English? It means like a car which it's going, but you go, it jumps for the maybe there's, why does that happen? Water in the engine? Water in the petrol tank? Or in the gas tank? Or what? You don't know. I don't know either. Just guessing. So it's futting along, but something in the transmission. What is the transmission? Okay, all right. So we don't have any mechanics here. Car mechanics. So people should know, we should be out there, give the knowledge. It's hard to get people to listen because people are stupid. How to get them to listen? Well, therefore we need festivals, Harinam Sankirtan. One thing is that many people can appreciate that our devotees, they're very happy in a different way to the kind of happiness that comes from drinking beer, for instance. If we're actually absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna with our sadhana, then when we meet people, they may not even consciously register with them, but they can understand we're in a different consciousness, different kind of platform. And you were giving yesterday your secret of book distribution, but that is the, of course, that's on the basis of having good sadhana and being Krishna conscious, which you also mentioned. By the force of one's personality, some people who have a strong personality, they can sell some books for some time, but to go on day after day, year after year, and remain enthusiastic, it requires spiritual realization. So people become impressed by that. And there are many, many instances of people who buy the books because they're impressed by the personality of the devotee. This someone's got something that I don't have. I was just listening now. Shivaram Swami talking about way back in the 1970s, distributing books in Chicago, O'Hare. And the devotees, for one day, they thought, these books, it's not anything that we're saying, it's going out by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So let's try distributing books for one day without saying anything to anyone. And he described how there was one businessman who was obviously a young man, obviously very stressed and full of anxiety. He just stopped him, showed him the book, and showed the pictures, and then showed his pocket, means get the money out like this. And he described how this young man was so much influenced by him because he could see that. He could understand, Shivaram Maharaj could understand that what was going on in the mind of that businessman. And here's someone who's happy. Here we all are. In those days, it was mostly business travelers. It depends on which terminal you're in and which flights you're on. But it was, they used to speak of the jet set, right? Only rich people would fly around. So many people rushing around, running here or flying here and there for making money, but none of them are happy. And here's someone with these books, and he's got that happiness. He's got something which this businessman could understand, and he took a whole bunch of books, actually. He kept on, Shivaram Maharaj gave more and more books, and he gave more and more money. Not a word spoken. So we have to use your American brains, Srila Prabhupada said, to find out how to spread this movement. People should know. This knowledge is so much required. Srila Prabhupada was working so hard to produce these books. He could have slept at night, but he didn't. He stayed up. He produced these books. And he pushed for them to be published. He wasn't content that he's just translated them and maybe after some time they'll be published. No, publish them now and distribute them now. He wanted that people would get this knowledge. So in this verse, we have Krishna, born from Devaki. The verse is actually about Devaki. But if we're going to speak about Devaki, then obviously we have to think about Krishna. Just like we've been hearing about Akrura and Pradyumna and Samba, means all in relation to Krishna. That is the meaning of Bhagavata, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's in relation to Bhagavan and in relation to the Bhagavatas, the devotees. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment, protest? Don't expect many protests.
Comment if that's okay. Different things you said sort of stimulated or inspired some thoughts within my mind. Just on that point of the personality, you know, back on Sunday, a lady at this event we went to took a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. Her name was Valerie. But she mentioned that she had met the devotees, and she went to the temple in Los Angeles. She said she loved the altar. She mentioned that she had prasadam. She knew the word prasadam. And she also mentioned that she met Austin, which is, I believe, Nali's actual first name. You know, Nali, who we call Nali here, is this his last name? It says actually Austin Nali. That's...
She met him where? In Atlanta?
She met him here at Whole Foods. And she repeated it about three times that she met Austin. Mm-hmm. And so she was very impressed by Austin. And she took the set of books, you know. So she met a devotee. And that was kind of part of her process of being able to take that set of Bhagavatams. And another point she was making about was, the animals, they just know what to do. You know, the little puppies, they know. So when I was chanting japa, a bird came, just flew down, landed on the ground, and after a few seconds it took off. And I was looking at the bird, and I was thinking, wow, that's pretty far out that bird knows how to fly. I mean, that's a pretty amazing talent. But then I thought to myself, but he doesn't get any credit. That's just that body. You know, that body comes. It's like you buy a certain car, and it comes equipped with certain stuff, you know. You can't give any credit to the person who just happens to own that car. It's the manufacturer that gets all the credit. So that bird, that soul, just happens to be in the bird body. He doesn't get any credit. Just like a fish, you can't give the fish credit for being able to swim. It's just that body. It's a machine. The soul just happened to get that machine. So this is the question now. So can I be thinking like that about human beings? That actually they deserve no credit for the whole, all this civilization. You know, because sometimes I feel, and it's not enamored, but awestruck. I'm driving through a city and I just see all these buildings and the highways and the cars, and I think, wow, these people, it's almost intimidating. I feel people are really intelligent. Look at everything they got
adults
together.
Adult's fairyland.
Yeah, but you know, actually,
Srila Prabhupada called it once.
Adult
right?
Fairyland. But they get no credit for that.
In Berkeley, and they're talking about something. Someone mentioned children's fairyland, and Prabhupada pointed at the skyscrapers and said, adults' fairyland.
But is it correct to think that really they deserve no credit for that? Because it's just the human body. Just like the fish knows how to swim, the bird knows how to fly, the human being, just he knows how to build things and make things.
Well, certain atheists would agree with that. Like Richard Dawkins is a determinist, means there was a big bang and everything just banged, bang, 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 or maybe just one big bang. And then everything settled down like this, blah, 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 and came up. And what we are and what happens in the world is determined at the moment of the Big Bang, because that's just the way the cookie crumbles, the way the chemicals sorted themselves out. So, yeah. No, humans, credit. Yeah, that's called Dushkriti, right? Kriti means someone who's done something. Srila Prabhupada translates the word Dushkriti like that. He's done something. It may be something very noticeable.
Yeah, merit.
But it's with a bad consciousness.
Yeah, and that was the next thought I had. Yeah, you know, because you're making the point that you told the story about the boatman and the scholar, and how if you don't know Krishna, your life is wasted. And you kind of made that point two or three other times in the course of your talk. So it just occurred to me that something I could say to people, because when we try to distribute books, quite often we get the response, I've got so many books. And then, you know, as you're speaking, this response came to my head. I can ask them the question, well, are you learning from these books how to experience an eternal life of blissful knowledge? And of course they're going to say no, you know. And then say, throw them out. You're wasting your time. It's just rubbish. You know, the human life is meant for that. You're being cheated. You know, just get rid of those books, and these books will teach you how to experience an eternal life of blissful knowledge. So just throw those books out and take these books. I'm going to try it. I'm going to experiment with that. Because, yeah, if, you know, not only is it all the, you know, the accomplishments of the modern contemporary civilizations, not only is it not a credit, but it's a discredit, because they're not using their human form of life for what it's supposed to be used for.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada was never enamored by the big buildings. Coming from India in those days, you can't imagine in the 1960s. I first went to India in the 1970s. There wasn't much difference between the 60s and the 70s. It was a third world country. Backward, you could say, in terms of material development. And America was way ahead of everywhere else. Nowadays there are skyscrapers in Africa and everything, but America was way, way ahead. And Srila Prabhupada, he looked and saw this place is full of Rajaguna and Tamaguna. That's what that was his immediate impression. He wasn't at all enamored.
Clear vision. If you get on the highway and you're going 70 miles an hour in the wrong direction, are you making any progress? You're going the wrong way. It's great. Oh, I'm going 70 miles an hour, but you're going in the wrong direction.
And then again from that song, Ahankari Matohaya Nitai Pada Pashare Ashatare Shatta Karyamane. Out of egoism, false egoism, we forget the lotus feet of Nityananda and we take the unreal to be real. That's the situation.
I was there in New York when Prabhupada was...
Please put the mic a little closer.
I joined in Henry Street and Prabhupada was on his morning walk. He looked at all the skyscrapers and you know what he said? He said all this just for the unification of two urinary tracts.
Here in Atlanta, he said that these buildings are all going to be finished, right? Anything, ladies? Yeah, usually Kamalini Mataji has some words of wisdom to add.
Something from yesterday's class, because there wasn't much time for questions. Is that all right?
That's fine by me.
Okay. Well, you were talking about our nature, how we can't change our nature. And I was thinking of book distribution, how we transcend our nature, because many devotees were very shy and we never could imagine approaching strangers in Walmart parking lot or you know, and yet we transcended that for that service. So can you say something about that?
Well, there was your class yesterday.
What'd you say? Oh, sorry, the day before.
Okay, the day before. Yeah, well, generally we're advised to act within our, within the psychophysical sheath that we have received. It can be very difficult even throughout life to throw that off. Preaching Krishna consciousness book distribution takes us beyond that. Direct engagement in Krishna's service directly takes us to the transcendental platform. But then we do see devotees who stop doing that and then they fall down, actually. Yeah, because they don't engage with the psychophysical machine that they've received. Krishna, you told Arjuna, you have to fight. Not only do you have to fight, but even if you say, I won't fight, you will fight. It's such a strongly inbuilt propensity for him. If he wanted to go off to the forest and be a yogi, he'd end up fighting with the lions or maybe with the yogis or whatever. He can't not fight. That's the way he was made. Similarly, talking about fighting with lions, that Bharat, the son of Dushyanta, was born in the forest. Just a young boy, he'd fight with the lions. He wasn't a rishi's son. Rishi's sons don't fight with lions. But the son of Kshatriya, he would do that. Even though he was raised in a rishi's hermitage, but his propensity was different.
Guru Maharaj, in Shastra we find descriptions primarily of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, hardly any of Vaishyas and Shudras.
Yeah.
Is there...
King Puna Brahmana Punya Bhakta Raja Ashayastata Anityam Asukam Lokam. What's the last line? Imam Prapya Bhajasvamama. Krishna speaks that even the Mami Partha Vyaparshritya Yipisyuv Papayonaya Striyo Vaishastata Shudras Tipi Yanti Param Gatim. Even if one is from a sinful birth, women, Vaishas or Shudras, if they take full shelter in me, they can attain the supreme destination. So what to speak of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, who are my devotees, who worship me in this world. So yeah, it's generally expected that there will be more spiritual disposition. Particularly Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they're knowledgeable in Shastra. Kshatriyas have to be also, not to the same extent as Brahmanas. If they're going to rule, they have to know. And they have to know what they're doing. That accusation came against Modi, right? Who has that made that? Rahul Gandhi. How can you be the head of the state if you don't have a university degree? And then he said he does have a degree. Anyway. But also these two especially are very much devoted to dharma. Everyone is... The Vaishyas and Shudras, they have to act according to dharma also. And those who are outside the Varnashram system, then they don't. Actually, they have their dharma in the sense of their propensities, but it's expected, well, according to which group they're in. They're also, they're not exactly castes, but they may be thieves, or pallbearers or carrying dead bodies, whatever, according to their group. And it's expected that someone from the thief background is going to be a thief. And it's not unexpected. Doesn't mean if they're caught, they don't get punished. So they're very much dedicated to dharma. Vaishyas and Shudras must act according to their dharma. They're Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, but Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they preserve dharma. Brahmanas by giving knowledge and Kshatriyas by punishing those who don't follow their own dharma. And we find in Bhagavatam, Shukadeva goes further. Krishna says women, Vaishyas, and Shudras, but then Shukadev says Kirata, Hunandra, Pala, even those who are not even below Shudras, if they take shelter of a devotee, they can attain the supreme destination. Srila Prabhupada practically demonstrated that.
Philosophically correct to think, as Mother Kamalini questioned, and you seem to confirm that when you make the decision to participate in the Sankirtan movement, you go beyond your destiny. You actually transcend that sheath, you know, your psycho-physiological sheath.
Sometimes devotees say it's not my propensity to go on book distribution. Well, how many people have the propensity to go hustling in the street selling something which no one wants to buy? Even if you have a hustling propensity, you sell some porn literature if you want to get lots of sales or something. That's what happened. Our devotees, they found that selling Kami records and what came after that, then candles, paintings,
yeah.
All kinds
t-shirts.
Of things. T-shirts, mooses in Europe, the moose, the back.
Massage moose.
They found it's easier to sell. But then, and devotees used that confidence they got from selling books, and they went out and sold these things. And mostly they all blooped, because they didn't get any spiritual reciprocation from Krishna. If they were very Krishna conscious, they could have thought it's going to be used for Krishna. But if their leaders were more Krishna conscious, they wouldn't have put them out selling these things anyway. They would have just kept them on book distribution. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa trubhyas chakripas in dubhyavacha patita nam bhavanebhyo vaishnava.
So we have Bhakti Vikas Maharaj ki.
Hare Krishna.